authority of Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Tonight, for the first hour at least, we have a little theme going, which is sober graduations and DUIs and 502s and collisions on the road due to impaired teenagers and adults. And we have Officer Luis Jose Hernandez here, who's are you the founder of the sober graduation?
Well, I cannot take that credit. Would love to, but no, it's not true. I've been one of the officers that actually does it for the South Bureau.
And this is a program that's been going on out here in the Los Angeles area for about 9 years. And there's probably things like it in a lot of the cities that we're in around the country, but it's basically guys like Officer Hernandez come to your school, and Hernandez brings a trashed car, actually, and illustrates what happens when you get boozed up during graduation, which is right around the corner. Not for the people who listen to this show. They're being held back a year.
Or two.
But I want you guys to tell your smart friends tomorrow you heard this show when you're not cutting school.
Our listeners don't finish high school, do they?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Okay. They don't need this.
They still go out and party with their peers.
They start drinking at 11, right. Mm-hmm. But for the smart ones who are actually graduating, you don't want to get boozed up and not make it to college. And so how does the program work? Go ahead.
What we do, we call the local high schools in the area. Mm-hmm. We find out when the prom is going to be and when the graduation date it actually takes place. So we try to get we make a schedule. We try to get that car to their campus during the lunch hour so then they can actually look at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing to see a BMW 740.
BMW.
A BMW.
Oh,
we
that
have
hurts.
Those.
I'm a BMW man.
I'm sorry, babe, but they crumpled up nicely, and they are... I mean,
Seven series, such a beautiful car.
Breaks
my heart.
And they roll, and they crash, and they mangled up people, and they kill people.
What the hell? Those high schoolers driving a 7 series BMW.
You'll be surprised what people drive around Los Angeles. But anyway, what happens is we bring this car, and we tell them they cannot even tell what type of car it is until they start actually looking at where the emblem is, whether it's a Honda, whether it's a Ford, whatever.
So these are actual cars.
These are actual cars that have been involved in traffic collisions.
Involving
alcohol, some others not. But mm-hmm. generally, we pick the ones that have been involved in alcohol, and there are a lot of them.
Do these cars, were there fatalities involved with these particular cars?
Sometimes, yes. Right now, we're having a Honda, four-door, large model, and this particular car was being driven by a young fellow and a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
The young fellow had been drinking quite heavily. He hit two parked cars and finally T-boned another car. When he hit that car, the girl went through the windshield. You can actually see in the windshield, you can see the face where the head went through. And she was not wearing the seatbelt, obviously. The kid saw the girlfriend unconscious, bleeding all over, and he felt, my God, she's dead. So the next thing he did, he got out of the car the best way he could, and he ran.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the police got there. We ran the plate, and we found out who the driver was, supposedly. We get to the house before he did, and of course, we caught him. In the meantime, we took the girl to the hospital. She's badly disfigured and major facial problems, so to speak.
And these were these high school age kids?
Yes.
And what about stuff like the Fast and the Furious movies like this? I mean, it's a lot more street racing
Road rage video games, stuff like that.
Well, I tell you, these type of things, what actually do they encourage the kids to go ahead and do it?
Do they?
Yes.
You notice it.
And I have noticed it, and I'm going to tell you something. I know my kids are going to kick my butt tomorrow morning for this. But
you arrest them if they do. You handcuff them to the refrigerator and beat them with that baton.
I'll remember that.
Yeah.
What happens is they look at these games. They play these video games. They're pretty good at it. And they said, my God, driving is easy next to this stuff. And when I'm driving, they go, come on, Dad, you can go faster than this. I know you're 50-something, but you can get on with it. Step on that thing. So it kind of actually gives them a little bit of a push.
Right.
Psychologically or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. Now, with movies like Fast and the Furious, kids are going to go out there and try out what they saw in their cars.
Right.
They spend fortunes trying to actually beefed up their cars, making it border street legal.
Now, who would do that, Adam?
Well,
I can imagine the kind of deviant mind that would go into that kind of
nothing endeavor. Wrong with a little innocent supercharging. These guys have run nitrous bottles.
How about nitrols? I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Right now, L.A. County has street legal type racing for the kids within L.A. County. They go to Irwindale.
Yeah, they do the drag races.
And then they do legal rag racing with their street cars, but they have to pass a very severe, very thorough test before they can actually test and drive, and they actually do it free.
Well, it's, you know, as a couple of things. All right, I'm all for the safe graduation and the sober graduation,
okay.
But I like
there is a but.
I'd like to work on a couple things as far as the traffic division goes with the LAPD.
Okay, here we go.
I got a couple of thoughts.
Okay.
First off, guy who works for me got pulled over the other day because he had a light tint on his passenger side window. This guy's a white guy in his 40s, no gangbanger. He's not didn't have the limo tint, just the light tint.
The light tint.
Gotta go strip it off. Really? Can't get a little UV protection in this town? I mean, here's what I'm saying. Here's what I want out of you guys. And then I'm going to start driving sober. But first, I gotta make you a deal.
Shall we step in the parking lot and do a field sobriety test in a hurry?
I will do it in here. I'm feeling confident tonight.
All right.
Here's what I want. All right, I got a couple things to say. Now, first off, I used to teach traffic school, so I know what I'm doing.
Okay.
All right. I think LAPD, out of most places, give out more moving violations than other cities. As a matter of fact, I know it.
Okay.
I know they give out more. They give out more for jaywalking. They give out more for what we call sort of chicken ass in my business infractions.
Okay.
I was driving. I couldn't imagine. Like, I'm from L.A.
Okay.
And when you're in L.A. and you drive, you're scared of the cops.
Why?
Because if you go 38, they give you a ticket in a 35 zone.
And why are you going 38?
That's the point. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because in L.A., they enforce the letter of the law, not the spirit of the law. And I was driving. I was shocked. I was in New Orleans, and I was driving with a cab. The guy was giving us a tour in New Orleans.
Uh-huh.
And this posted speed limit was like 35. And this guy's driving a minivan with me and my partner, a couple other people. And he's giving us a tour in New Orleans. And there was a cop car that was driving in front of us. And this guy must have been doing 42, 44 miles an hour. And he was coming up on this cop car. And he was giving us a tour, talking to us. I noticed the cop car that we were coming up on. And I noticed this posted speed limit, and he was giving us a tour about Bourbon Street, and I said there's a cop up there, slow down. And he looked at me and he was like, we're not doing anything wrong, they got bigger fish to fry. And I thought, oh my God, what a utopia this is, that you can drive a safe and normal speed and not be a criminal and not expect to get a ticket. What an amazing revelation this is. And I thought, what a great place this must be. And why isn't L.A. this way? Can you answer that question?
Well, L.A. in itself follows the law, and it has been throughout the time that I've been a police officer.
Yes, the letter of the law. Yes.
You got it, baby.
Yes.
You heard the catchphrase.
Oh, nothing. You guys must make fun of Burbank, right? How much money does Burbank raise?
We do not do that. Of course
Burbank does not. Burbank's just a big March of Dimes bucket over there. Everyone just go out there and start throwing money out the windows you drive in Burbank.
Got it. Oh, my.
Oh, my God.
Funny. How about the left turn lane?
All right. Listen, I got another dangerous trend here.
Okay.
And by the way, I'm going to keep getting our message in, which is do not drink and drive. It's dangerous, especially for your kids who can't handle it. Well, that's all of you.
Tell me a kid that can handle that.
Well, I'm going to get to that, too, because
okay.
I got some theories on that. But
really?
I bet you do.
Do you have theories on that?
Yes. Here's what I want to say.
I got to hear
I got a couple ideas. Right. First off, what is going on with all the left turn arrows? Why are these things springing up all over town? You know what I'm talking about?
So then they can make a left-hand turn.
Right. But then why are they turning red while the signal is green?
So then they will not make a left turn.
When the signal is green, And there's no traffic coming.
You're talking about the actual light.
Yes, I'm talking about the light that faces the same direction as the arrow, which is now turned red.
There could be something else going the opposite direction.
Yeah, there could be, but
left to right.
No, but there never is.
Well,
just sit there.
You tell me now. Going through that.
I go through it every time.
And what happens?
I don't get a ticket. I did
You're lucky. Where is that you go so I can go there and remind you?
I do it right here on this corner of Culver City. Right here. I do it right here. I do it all over town because first thing I do is I sit there. And then the second thing I do is I look forward and I see nothing.
And you wait.
And then the third thing I think, what am I a retard? How come I can't? How come I can turn left at the signal before this because there's no arrow? How come it's now? Here's the whole thing too. Here's what I want to say. Ultimately, the driver's safety and judgment is the only thing he has between him and certain death. Really.
True.
I mean, let's face it. You could say, well, that arrow turns red to let you know not to turn into oncoming. Yeah, right. But I could point my car toward a cliff and just punch it if I didn't have decent faculties.
That doesn't have anything to do with a left turn, but go ahead.
Left turn, here's what I want to know. I understand why the left turn arrow turns green. It's to move traffic along during traffic hours when it's busy. And there's situations. There are situations where it should turn red. Because it's a dangerous situation, like you're at the top of a hill and you can't see the cars coming up and over the hill.
Right.
But Culver City, where we work now, is packed full of these goddamn arrows. They go all the way down Venice Boulevard. Venice Boulevard is like a landing strip. It's longer and straighter than the Cape Canaveral, where the space shuttle lands. It's 70
nice
miles of straight. I can actually see the earth bending underneath it before it turns right or turns left. And at 12:15, I got to sit there waiting to get carjacked?
I hope not.
Well, why am I waiting at this arrow? And here's my point. I don't wait. I drive through it. And if a cop pulls me over, I'm going to say, listen, the arrow's red because it is allegedly dangerous at some point in time, I don't know when, that I turn left at this intersection. But it ain't here and it ain't now. So how about not writing me the ticket?
It will be up to the police officer.
Right.
You know what?
Why do they need to turn red? Why can't they put them on timers?
You know what they have in Pasadena? They have something yield on green arrow.
Yield on green arrow, right.
And those
I've
are
seen
great.
It.
Those are
I've
great.
Seen it. Well, you know what? You're dealing with a group of...
bankers.
No.
Bankers.
There we go. The cashier again. No, we're dealing with engineers that actually do...
They study the patterns.
Yeah. They look at the times. They look at what the volume of traffic.
Right.
And then they're the ones that make decisions. Now, this is how this thing works. Let's say, for instance, there is a left turn that is useless.
Right.
And you feel, and the drivers in that particular area feel, and that shouldn't be, you know, you get your local police officer, you talk to him, you show him, and we go out there and study if it is necessary or if it is a way to change.
He can't on an individual basis say, from hours 11 to 4, I'm not going to pay attention to that.
How about that during non-traffic
hours?
You
know what? I'm not going to say that they just close their eyes and let things happen because cops, at least LA cops, are not supposed to. That's not what we get paid for. We follow policies.
I want to hear this thing about lightweights not being able to, or being able to, heavyweights being able to drink and drive.
All right, we could go on for some time. All right, I got one more thing I'd like to do.
All right.
Again, don't drink and drive. Got to graduate sober. You should smoke pot. What about
other things? What about other substances they're taking? Are you guys seeing a resurgence or increase in traffic accidents around that? Or?
Well, you know what? A lot of people are using this speed drug, and they get behind the wheel. And you're talking about Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
Oh, is that really?
Speed makes it drive fast.
I've had cab drivers in Vegas, so I can tell they're on speed. It's always scary.
It's a horrible thing. And you know what? Bottom line is this: a brain that is not affected by any type of narcotic or any type of chemical. Thank you. Is going to function properly. Period.
Right.
Unless if it is impaired due to any damage obtained by an accident or something.
Let me just say, I agree with you. However, when you're dealing with young people, you have to be exquisitely honest and precise.
And
I know what they're going to think. They're going to go, Well, they give speed to the fighter pilots. What the hell? They give them, the Army gives them the fighter pilots. Why can't we do speed?
And we just had a major problem with that. But I understand that, and I don't speak for anybody, but what I read in the paper had to do with the fear factor. You will not have
no
fear at the moment that you see those whatever caliber bullets coming your way, bouncing off your cockpit, and then all of a sudden you have to drop your ordnance, whatever you need to drop it. That's the statement that they came out with.
Well,
however, go ahead.
I wanted to say, obviously there's no breathalyzer for let's say marijuana or speed.
There isn't.
The officer pulls over a driver and makes an assessment based on the pupils and the following
eye movement
that kind of stuff is to see whether someone's intoxicated or not, right? Is driving while under the influence, like a DUI, does it make a big difference whether it's marijuana, speed, or alcohol or Valium in the eyes of the law, the court?
What about NyQuil?
Or NyQuil? Does it make a
difference?
Exactly.
I mean, it must be harder to prove, obviously, if you didn't blow over 0.08.
There are officers, we call them drug recognition experts.
Right.
And these officers have been having countless hours of training.
Mm-hmm.
Myself, I'm not going to tell you I'm a DRE officer.
Right.
But when I see somebody that is driving not properly, I get close to this person and I can smell, let's say, pot.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can smell something other than a normal basic bad breath of a human being. No, because we have to get that close to find out, okay? And you start wondering. Then you start asking the basic questions. You know, where you been? What have you been doing? Who you been drinking? Have you been drinking? You ask him those questions. And if that doesn't come up, but yet the behavior and the balance and the way of walking of this individual once it's out of the car is not that of an average, normal human being, that's when you request the experts to come on down, and they do a very thorough report, and they can almost tell you what this person is under the influence of.
Yeah, true.
There have been situations. There have been situations where... In my opinion, this guy was tired, okay? And I was about to let him go, but the eyes just did not look right. So I called the DRE, he looks at him, and he says, oh, man, he's high on such and such and such. I'm going, oh, tell me that in English. So he started doing his evaluation, take the blood pressure, take the pulse, and all this stuff. They're walking around with us like a doctor's, and... next thing he's telling me, this person is under such and such a medication, and I can tell him he took that medication so long.
Did this person get a DUI?
Yes.
And here's the thing about DUI, just from a real-world standpoint, here's the reality of it. I don't know about the rest of the country. I would guess that California is probably...
We are the leaders.
...amongst the highest in terms of fines, penalties, and that sort of stuff. I don't know why... magically the most expensive traffic stuff follows me around wherever I go.
but it's
just got to be okay. But the point is if you get a DUI, it is going to be more than the average 17, 18, 19 working class guy can afford. I mean DUI is could be an automatic suspension of your license. Sometimes they let you have it just to go from work to work and back. You only get a
very restricted, yes.
Very restricted license. And, if you live in L.A., obviously that's a nightmare. Number two, you got to undergo, drug counseling classes and other ridiculous things to suggest. You drink two and a half beers, you got to get into rehab.
Yeah, it's
all right, that's nonsense. But, all right, fine. But you got to pay for that, which is even worse because you're sitting there. I mean, my buddy's an attorney. The guy's the straightest guy I know. He got pulled over. He was in his driveway. And, by the way, to get to 0.08, especially if you're not a big guy,
two glasses of wine.
You got to bring a couple glasses of wine, and you're home.
For me, one glass of wine.
Glass of wine,
and it just knocked me flat under.
Meanwhile, I drink a pony keg, and I'm Dale Earnhardt.
I think, don't worry about me. You and I had this discussion before. A DUI is essentially a threshold marker for alcoholism. It really is.
No.
It really is. It's relatively rare for somebody to get a DUI who does not. At least in the evolutionary phases of the disease.
Well, it is. I mean, it certainly helps and certainly multiple ones. But
multiple you're in.
But the thing about DUI is so here's what you have. A, you have a law enforcement community that has its eyes open looking for this. B, you have 0.08, which is very easy to get to, just a glass of wine or two glasses of wine in a fairly short period of time to make it legally over the limit, even if you don't feel... Mm-hmm. Even if you feel marginally impaired, you could be over the legal limit. And then C, your life is destroyed. And it is classes you're going to. It's a suspended license. And it's thousands of dollars. It's not as if you got some, you know, like, oh, you got a ticket in the diamond lane for $271. No, we're talking about $5,000, $8,000 sometimes.
With or without an attorney.
That's the thing.
That's right.
I mean, it is thousands of dollars.
It is expensive, but you know what? The bottom line on this one is we all know, I am a Hispanic. And in the Hispanic culture, a party is not a party if you don't have music, if you don't have someone to dance with, because it's a must.
Yeah.
And good food, but the most important ingredient of a party is what? Alcohol.
All right. Amen. So, all right, let's go to commercial. Finally, the guy's making sense. No, I was going to say, you know, L.A., a lot of Hispanics, and I've worked with almost all of them and swinging a hammer, doing construction, and a lot of these guys I've worked with have three or four, and this is back in the day, but some of these guys had three, four DUIs.
Easy.
They just didn't get it. It's like where they're from, you drink, you drink a couple cases of beer and you wander home. And if you get pulled over by cops, you give them $20 and you keep going.
That's the way it is in Latin America.
However, God bless Mexico. It's the only thing they got going over us.
That is changing. That is changing.
Yeah, it's $40.
No, it's not $40. It's not $100. What happens? They are actually arresting you.
Oh.
And if you try to bribe the cop like it was in the prior years,
that has actually changed.
Actually, when Fox came on, he changed things around. It's making it a lot easier. And you know what? Believe it or not, it's making it a lot safer for us when we go down there.
You're right. But I still keep a couple 20s in the pocket in case there's trouble.
Well, congratulations on that. Just in case if you run out of gas. But
here's how you know they have a top-notch security force over there in Mexico. That you see the cops actually riding wheelies on their bikes up and down the street. All right, now hold on a second. We have Officer Hernandez is here tonight. We're talking about sober graduation, which is coming up. Like I said earlier, most of the people listening to the show won't be graduating because they'll be held back or suspended.
Just not graduating.
Yeah.
Just ain't never going to graduate.
Just thrown in. But they have certainly no people who will be graduating. Yeah. And what we don't want you to do is we don't want you to go out there and get loaded and get killed. Or worse,
get the
suspended license and the $8,000 it costs you to get out of the pokey. We'll take a quick break. We'll take some of your calls, and we'll get into it after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Tonight, Officer Luis Jose Hernandez is here for the first hour. We're doing a little public forum here talking about sober graduation because this is a problem. People go out for graduation, they tilt a few, they get loaded, and they get in an accident, and they don't see the first year of junior college. Those are our
unfortunately they won't.
Yeah, and it's very tragic. And Officer Hernandez is part of the sober graduation program that LAPD puts on out here, and I'm sure they have versions of this all around the country.
They do.
Go around, take a car that's bent up like a tuna can, and drop it off and scare the hell out of the kids. But what were we going to get into? And we got to get some calls.
Let's get some calls. We got a lot of
stuff. Calls.
Yeah.
What about my plan to speed up traffic in this town?
Just the kick-ass?
Let me just give you a quick pitch.
Move your
before,
ass policy?
Yeah, before we go. Okay. Before we go to the phones. I've lived in Los Angeles my whole life. They have no public transportation, and they're always trying to figure out. Now they have some now. They're always trying to figure out how to get traffic to move in this town. And they talk about monorails and adding lanes to the freeway and so on and so forth.
Right.
But then out of one side of the mouth, they're talking about moving traffic, and the other side of the mouth, they're yelling, slow down, slow down. I think we could move this city along 25 to 30% faster if people would just shake their ass a little bit. And here's what I'm talking about. it's legal to turn right at, when the signal is red, for instance, in California. Although half the goddamn people in this crappy state don't seem to be aware of this. How about giving these people a ticket? How about focusing on the people that are slowing the city down and ticketing them?
He's still talking about the left-hand turn.
Huh? I'm talking about the right-hand now. How about moving these people? How about some cops sliding in, seeing some guy who's going 51 miles an hour in the left lane of the freeway and giving the guy a ticket for driving too slow? How about people that are just generally holding things up? How about we target these people? How about we send the message? And I know you guys got stuff. You guys are focused. Here's the thing. Yeah, you say, okay, well, gridlock guys are going to now start getting a ticket. But here's what we focus on. We focus on guys running the red light, so we put the cameras up here. We focus on speeders. We focus on people that roll through four-way stop signs in the middle of the night. This is what we focus on. We scare the crap out of everyone in this city. Everyone is paranoid, and now people are scared to turn right when the signal is red, even though it's safe and legal. And here's what I want. I want the law enforcement community to start focusing on people that are dragging their ass and get this town moving. And don't tell me we couldn't all just pick it up. Because when Drew and I are driving, we're moving 30% faster than traffic. I want you cops to crack
and
the whip.
And we're loaded.
I want cops to crack the whip. I want you guys to start coming down on people that are dragging their ass instead of focusing on the pioneers. Like Drew and myself were trying to keep the traffic moving by going at least 15 to 20 miles an hour faster than the posted speed limit.
Okay.
That's what I want. And here's another thing I want. I want safety to be, I want it to be on a sliding scale, this speed limit. Here's the deal. I drive a $50,000 sports car with speed-rated tires, suspension. I got 14-inch Brembo vented disc brakes, anti-lock. I got everything going on in this car. I got everything. My car will go 170 miles an hour, okay?
In L.A.?
Yeah, that's my point. Going 55 is crawling for me in my car. It is crawling. On the other hand, my crazy mom and her VW Squareback, that's the speed of light for her, going 55 miles an hour. Okay. Why should we have the same speed limit?
That is the law.
That's my point. Let's focus on not the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law, which should be which initially is there for safety, but it's turned into revenue generating. That's my problem with the LAPD. Thank you.
Well, actually, it's not LAPD. It's the system.
Yeah, LAPD doesn't have to enforce. LAPD doesn't have to have guys who are enforcing guys who are rolling through four-way stop signs in the middle of the night. And LAPD's constantly talking about not having enough officers to cover. Here's the LAPD. And then sober graduation. But listen.
I was wondering if you were going to remember that.
All I ever hear out of LAPD is we don't have enough officers. We don't have enough officers. What about the guy who's parked halfway up Beechwood Canyon with his radar gun in between his legs all morning, busting secretaries that are coasting down the hill at 2 miles an hour faster than the posted speed limit? You don't have enough guys? What about this guy? Who's he working for?
He's trying to enforce the law.
Yeah, he's trying. No, he's. Look, why don't you guys just hire Jerry Lewis? You throw a telethon every year, you get your money, and then you guys can go stop criminals instead of people that are rolling through four-way stop signs. That's all I'm saying. Nothing worse than the city of Burbank. No place worse than the city of Burbank, as far as
I've got a jaywalking ticket in Burbank. It's affected him for many, many years.
Yes.
I can tell.
I got a jaywalking ticket for crossing in between the lines at a signal and a thing. The guy said I stepped off the curb when the thing was flashing.
Wow.
Yes. And I beat it, and all you Burbank pussies can kiss my ass in your dumpy, crappy, fundraising town over there. Idiots.
Okay.
Thank you.
Christina, 17. First call tonight.
Sober graduation. Christina?
Hi. I was wondering, when me and my boyfriend have sex, he, feels like he's hitting something. Only in missionary when he's on top.
Okay, well, that happens.
Hold on, Drew, what's this have to do with the sober graduation?
It's the calls they put up there. That's fine. That's normal.
Well, should we get some calls or people have had a...
Yeah.
Because Officer Hernandez is going to be here for the first hour only.
Yeah, let's have some...
People have gotten a DUI. People have stories. People have friends that have died in a car accident, involved alcohol, that kind of stuff.
We'll talk to Sophia in a minute. Christina, that's
my
normal.
My questions are going to my peck.
Christina, that's normal, all right?
Okay.
All right. Just
all right, well, good times.
All right.
Yeah, maybe... Yeah, you're fine. Don't drive drunk.
Let's talk to Sophia real quick. This will be an interesting call for Officer Hernandez, too.
Oh, really? All right.
It's a follow-up. Sophia?
Yeah.
Remember Sophia?
Yeah.
Why is this interesting for Officer Hernandez?
Well, because it's a legal problem. She's living with her grand. She called us last, like, 3 or 4 nights in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, I didn't.
Well, it seems like. You called us several nights.
No, I called you like 2 weeks ago and then a night ago.
And one night ago, okay. And she is being sexually abused by her grandfather with whom she lives.
Right.
She is sort of terrorized and afraid to tell anybody. And we had to call some helplines. And what's happening now?
I called the social. I called the It was like 4224453.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they gave me another number.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mean to call you tonight. Well, whatever. I'm sorry. I'm scared. And they gave me this other number. And
what was I talking about 10 seconds ago?
I know, we're waiting for them to get some more calls.
Let me All right.
Okay, what?
So what happened?
What happened?
So then I had talked to the social worker lady who lives near me.
Mm-hmm. So you talked to the social worker?
Yeah, and she was really nice to me.
Great, that's great.
All right, so did you work something out with her?
And she's going to go to my school tomorrow.
Excellent. Is she going to meet you there?
Yeah.
Excellent, Sophia, that's great.
But I'm so scared.
What are you scared of?
I don't know that my grandfather's going to be mad because I'm not supposed to tell anyone.
Well,
Well,
that's his. That's nonsense. That's his sickness. There are people that will help
you.
But
I want him to love me, and I know I'm going to destroy it.
Oh, listen. You don't owe that old fart anything.
And you're misinterpreting love for exploitation.
Yeah, the guy's a criminal.
How old is she?
15.
But I'm just scared for the rest of the night because I see her tomorrow, and I'm just so nervous. And
do we know where she lives?
She lives in Maryland. What? What was that?
Sorry, I'm just scared.
She scared the hell out of me.
Has the police in Maryland been notifying this?
Well, she's notified the social services, and she made some phone calls, and now she's going to meet with them at her school tomorrow.
Well, I meant to call to thank this lady that when I first called spoke to me after you, but the girl that answered the phone.
There are going to be a lot of people that are going to be there to help you, Sophia. I was just listening.
So, Sophia, here's what you have to do.
I don't want to be alone.
You're not going to be alone.
That's the whole point.
Well, I know it's going to seem like a long night tonight, but it will be no longer than any other night you've had thus far, at least mathematically.
Mm-hmm.
What time is it over there? You got to go to sleep.
It's 1:37.
Go to sleep.
I can't.
Yeah, it's going
to
be hard to sleep.
Well, are you scared of your grandfather tonight?
I'm used to him. I'm scared that he'll just...
He doesn't know anything.
He doesn't know
He's asleep.
Yeah.
I'm scared of just tomorrow when they tell my...
She's just afraid how this is
right.
Going to go down.
All right. I understand that, but...
My mom doesn't love me.
No.
Sophia, look. This is the opening. It's going to be tumultuous, and it's going to be anxiety-provoking, but it's the beginning of really getting better, of being available, having people around you who are really available for you to help.
The lady said that people, I want to love people, now love me, but... It won't happen, but I want it to.
It will.
This is the beginning, Sophia.
It will.
It's
the
tough part.
I want someone to, because my mom always tells me she doesn't.
Well, listen. You did the hard part. You made the call.
But I'm so scared now. I can't help it.
Hey, Sophia, there's really nothing you can do about this right now. I mean, all you can do, it's going to be painful. You're going to be scared. That's fine. You should be. That's how it goes. You just have to get up tomorrow morning and go to school and begin the process. You did nothing wrong.
You've done nothing.
Tell her everything.
Okay, that's fine.
Tell him everything.
She has a lot of questions, but I tell her that
I
cut myself, and I'm originally mad.
No one's going to be mad at you.
Yeah,
nobody.
No one's mad at you for anything you do right now.
And anybody who does get mad at you... is going to be a sick person.
That's right.
And maybe your grandfather, maybe your mom.
Although you're a little angry and hostile towards her, I must admit.
Who, me?
Yeah.
I can't stand that whispering anymore. It's driving me insane.
There you go.
All right. So listen, anyway. I need a belt. I'm sorry to say, I need a cocktail. It takes the edge off. And what about this? What about the fact...
Is she gone?
Yeah, she is.
Well, I have a couple of questions.
She's
listening.
The The social worker has been involved. How long has this been going on? How long have we known this?
2 days.
We got our first call about a week or so ago, and we got her to some helplines, and then she made it all the way to the social services. And then she told us last time they were going to come see her, and we encouraged her to make that call, and she did it.
And this is in the state of Maryland, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Has social worker hopefully have contacted the police, maybe?
I'm sure they will. I'm sure. But don't expose her to all that now. Let's just get her to social services.
Right.
Yeah. I was just watching, I don't know why, but I was thinking she's in Maryland, but I was watching some TV show today. It said more cockroaches in Los Angeles than any other city.
Really?
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Really?
Yeah. I'm just saying, we got our own fish to fry over here. You know what I mean? Yeah. We got trigger-happy cops with radar guns. And listen, I don't mind you guys shooting people. It's the radar guns. I got a problem.
We're talking about radar shooting, radar.
I'm talking about radar shooting.
That's what
shooting.
You were saying, right?
Yes. Good. Yes. And I'd like to get, you know, as a matter of fact, I'd like you guys shooting more people, really, who are, you know, these, have you guys worked something out for the guys that are, you know, evading the cops in the car, the guys, the pursuit stuff? What's the policy for that? Have we figured that one out?
Pretty much, if it has to be a felony. Other than that, basic infraction, we give the information to the area, and hopefully the area unit will pick it up.
How do you catch a guy? I mean,
we don't anymore. We used to
just let them go.
We used to pretty much follow them until the end of the earth, or they run out of gas,
right,
or whatever that was. And it became a very dangerous system. And unfortunately, nothing against the media, but they got a big.
You can make comments against the media.
Go ahead.
Well, they actually made it their bread and butter. Just
right.
9 helicopters on top of this car that is running away from the cops.
Right.
And it was too much. So finally, Mayor Han and a new chief asked the media to stop doing that. And of course, that came in one ear and went out the other.
Right.
So the best way to avoid that is just not following these people anymore. However, we know who they are. We got the plate, and eventually we'll talk to them.
Oh, really? So there's no pursuit anymore? There's a distant pursuit.
We watched a really good one here last night.
Yes, to a point if this particular person commits a major felony, then of course we will follow them.
Let me ask you this. What about, because I can't stand these lawyers sort of tying up the hands of cops who want to give out good, hard, honest beatings and things like that. But what about the, you know, the North Hollywood bank robbery, which was depicted in the movie of the week, I think it was Sunday night, big North Hollywood shootout about 6 years ago.
Right.
Remember the mom of one of the bank robbers was suing the city for wrongful death?
Mm-hmm.
Did she win? Do you know what happened to that case?
I have no clue as to what happened.
No one knows what happened
to
that case.
The reason being, I don't think it went anywhere. It goes to the city attorney, it goes to the district attorney or whomever, and then it's in their hands.
Mm-hmm.
They'll do the investigation, they'll check everything out, and whatever comes out. But
How about they just put a bullet in that old bitch's head?
No, you're really getting out of hand.
Well, listen. Hey, listen, Ma, your son put on a flak jacket, modified AK-47, and sprayed 1,500 rounds into the city. Shouldn't we put a bullet in your head? Huh?
For thinking that's okay.
Now you're suing the city? Let's put a bullet in their head. Come on.
People love to sue everybody.
That's why they love to put a bullet in their head. That's why we got to put a bullet in their head. What's wrong with that?
They might get the wrong idea. I must start doing something we really don't want to see.
Listen, here's the deal. If all I have to fear from the LAPD is, all my kid has to do is pump 1,500 rounds in the community, and then I sue the law, then I sue the LAPD, and I get, if that's standing between me and the bullet in the head, fine. I'm fine with that society. Old bat. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. Officer Hernandez is here. We're talking about safe and sober graduations. Graduation's coming up. What the hell's the date? Most people be graduating in the middle of June, right?
Yeah, my kids are out after tomorrow.
What the hell your kids get out so early for?
They start early, too.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
Okay, they do. My kid actually graduates on the 18th of this month.
I wanted you
month.
To go around a couple more times so I can go, no, they don't.
No, they don't. Wait a minute.
Are we going to fill in time? Is
that yeah, what you mean? Yeah, well, I'm a product of the L.A. Unified School District myself, you know. Okay. I was at North Hollywood High.
North Hollywood High.
Husky.
Okay.
Yeah. And we didn't have the sober graduation team come by back then.
You got scared straight, probably, or something like that.
They did show that film. But back then, it wasn't .08. It was it was .10.
.10. And
I could drink another half
beer.
You know
who changed? You know who was the person? Or the group that changed?
Tell me. I'll kick him in the nuts.
No, you're going to have to kick about 10 million people now.
So be it.
Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Yeah.
All right, that's it. Right in the nuts. Yeah. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. We got Officer Luis Jose Hernandez, who's here today. He is talking tonight, little theme show, talking about DUIs and safe graduations and driving while under the influence and all that kind of stuff. And I just really, and is it it's .08 in just about every state now, isn't
it? .08, right. Mothers Against Drunk Driving made a major campaign to bring it down from .10
right.
to .08.
And has that an impact? Has that an impact on the...
Oh, major impact. Yeah. See, the thing is this. One of the things that the system in itself, and I'm talking about the court system, they used to think that a person that got killed in the hands of a drunk driver was just a basic accident.
Mm. Right.
So consequently, everybody says, oh, this is an accident. I mean, I'm sorry, the guy was drunk. Well, we pay for the damages, we pay for this, we pay for that, but I'm sorry, you know.
It wasn't a criminal act.
It was not a criminal act, but you know what? When you're going to go out there and have fun, drink, and get behind a steering wheel, you know, it's premeditated murder. Just as simple as that, and that's the way it's being viewed right now.
Is it?
Yes, by
the
courts.
Well, not premeditated.
It is. Let me ask you something. When you're going to go to a party,
right?
Let's say that we're all going to have a great party this Saturday here with the radio station.
Not here. Well, this place a dump.
Okay.
We go out in the parking lot, maybe.
And then once we get through drinking, how are we going to get home?
I'm driving.
Now you
get my funny car.
You get pulled over in your funny car, and you're just going down the speed doing your funny thing, and you kill somebody in the process. What happens?
I'm going to get vehicular manslaughter.
Exactly.
But not premeditated murder.
It is premeditated because you're drunk.
But premeditated is murder.
Time out. You actually got yourself under the influence of whatever it was.
Hold on, Drew. I need representation.
No.
Stop talking.
You have the right to remain silent.
Drew,
so use it for a minute. Hold
Drew
on.
Gave me a pill. He told me it was medicine.
Well, he's a doctor. You make sure you have a prescription. Just don't get behind the steering wheel.
What about that? I mean, when people drive, some of these medications, they were so sedating and intoxicating.
Exactly. How about people then have rheumatoid arthritis?
But they're following direction.
And like this.
How do they know that they shouldn't be driving? Is there? We are certainly not schooled in how to tell them to deal with their driving. There's no sort of set recommendations we give.
Okay, it's understood and the medication says dizziness,
drive. It says don't drink and drive is what it says. Most of the pharmacy bottles says don't drink.
And some of it don't mix it with alcohol.
That's what most of them say. They don't say don't drive because it does.
Don't drive a backhoe.
Yeah.
But you can drive a Hyundai.
Right. Well, that's something that's clarification.
You're not supposed to. And you know what? It's a good point that I'm sure eventually will be taken care of.
Clarifying.
Yeah, because it's a major issue. What about, we were talking about NyQuil. Nothing against NyQuil.
No.
I use it it works. And thank God for DayQuil.
Right.
Or else, believe me, I won't be talking here. But let me say this. When you take NyQuil during the daytime, under the influence. Yeah, who's that? You are under the influence, in this case, of a drug. And you're in violation of the law. If that's the bottom line of what we have here. Matt is looking into all these particular problems and loopholes and trying to make the law stronger, talking the victim, helping the victim. Picture yourself that all of a sudden your loved ones, you have kids,
I have Drew's kids.
Okay. Let's say then, God forbid, in an accident in the hands of a drunk driver, somebody gets killed. They're walking.
Right.
Or else they're in a car and a collision. So, was this guy supposed to be there drinking and driving? No.
No, okay. But let me ask you.
Hold on a second.
Yeah, go ahead.
So then Matt comes over,
right,
and they help you guys deal with the system itself, making sure then the representation is done properly according to the law. And this person is not going to slide in the old myth of, oh, my God, that was just an accident. I'm sorry.
Well,
no. Now it's going to be years in jail.
Yeah, well,
maximum sentences.
Drunk driving, it, you know, the thing about drunk driving, especially in L.A. County, was always bizarre to me, which is I'd hear about a guy who got a ticket for drunk driving. This is years ago. It cost him $600, and he got to keep his license. Then another guy would get one. It cost him $4,000. He lost his license for 6 months. It was all over the map. There didn't seem to be any uniform sentencing that was going on with it.
Okay, you know very well that we, the police officers, we do the basic...
Wait, hold on a second. Drew is telling me we have to go to break, and we do have to go to break. But I'll tell you what we'll do.
Okay, we'll, when we come back, we'll continue
we've
this.
We've got a series of questions for Officer Hernandez.
We'll do. We're just going to keep Officer Hernandez for the first break. But Drew waxed on so much about his...
Left turn lanes.
We didn't get to all the stuff we need to get to. So we'll talk. We'll do one more break with Officer Hernandez about this, and then we'll get back to the basic love line after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Tonight, we're doing a little bit of a theme. It's carried over into the second hour. We're just going to take it to this first break here. We have Officer Luis Jose Hernandez. He is one of the guys involved with the Sober Graduation Program, which is out here in Los Angeles. Oh, sorry. You got to turn his mic on there, Anderson. Go ahead. Basically, what goes on is out here in Los Angeles, lots of boozing, lots of celebrating for the graduation day. Lots of, I guess part of it, too, is people thinking they're adults. It's like, hey, you've graduated high school.
And you know what? That opens up a major issue that we were just talking here with Dr. Drew while you were gone.
Mm-mm.
And that has to do with zero tolerance.
Right.
We were talking about the fact that the law says that any minor, we're talking 21 years of age. We're not talking 18.
Oh.
You cannot drink alcohol, period.
It's 21, right.
21.
Because that's the age.
Yet, there is a cultural thing. Some cultures allow the kids in their homes, the parents, that is, to drink alcohol at home, whether it is wine, whether it is beer, or whether you just flat out a shot of vodka in the Hispanic culture or tequila.
Yeah.
And that's illegal. That's against the law. So where do we go? In colleges, we were also touching that subject. There are kids that are 21 then can legally drink alcohol, serving 19-year-olds and 18-year-olds that just graduated from high school and go to college campuses to do their studies, supposedly.
Well,
and you know, so, yeah. but the bottom line, the bottom message, and tonight's is, first of all, don't drink and drive, number one, for teenagers. And remember that it's against the law in the zero tolerance state of California to drink alcohol under the age of 21.
I'm guessing it's that way in most states, although it's surprising what goes on in this world of ours. We know when we look at age of consent how it varies quite a bit. But, and I'm telling you, I mean, Officer Hernandez is telling you not to do it because it's dangerous, and obviously that's the number one
It's illegal and it's dangerous.
And it's illegal. I'm telling you not to do it because you will get popped and it will ruin your life.
Very expensive.
Very expensive. And not only expensive in terms of what it physically costs just with the fines and the court and all that kind of
time.
Stuff. Time. Also, you got this on your record for 4 years or so now. Insurance,
that is
going to
stay
disaster.
On your record forever.
Oh, it stays
it
forever.
It stays forever. The thing is this. There is a limit of years.
Seven years or something.
Where is no longer available. But let's say that this person wants to become an FBI agent or a cop. Or work for the government in a very sensitive area. Guess what?
Yeah,
that is going to be there.
Well, our listeners want to be pirates, and cartoon characters.
Some of them want to be astronauts, though.
Astronaut, pirate. I wanted to be the first astronaut pilot when I was graduating.
Astronaut pirate.
astronaut pirate.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Oh, what did I say? Pilot?
Pilot, yeah.
Oh, well, I could have done that, too. All right, let's take a call. Let's see. Someone's here's got a program wants to talk about. Amanda?
Hello?
You're 17?
Yeah.
Your school has a sober program?
Yeah, it's called Every 15 Minutes.
Uh-huh.
Great program.
Yeah, and what happens is, well, first of all, they do a stage crash at lunch. They actually have students from our school be a part of it. They'll put them in the they'll put them in the cars, bloody them all up, faking stuff, and they'll call the police and the fire department. Actually, come with their sirens onto our campus and act it out as if it's a real crash.
Right, and every 15 minutes is what?
What happens in this country?
What happens is every 15 minutes a bell rings during class, and a Grim Reaper comes, and they call the person's name of a student, and the Grim Reaper comes into the classroom and takes them away as if they were to die.
Now, is this an actor, or is this the actual Grim Reaper?
It's your voice, interestingly.
It's just an actor, yeah.
Oh, okay. It's Adam's voice, though.
It's not the real Grim Reaper?
No.
Okay, so the kid's life is spared.
Yeah, they leave like their picture in a rose as if they would actually die.
I see. And it's every 15 minutes to signify that every 15 minutes, what, nationally somebody's killed?
Yeah, someone's killed from a drunk driver.
I do a program where I hand out a chicken ass ticket every 15 seconds to signify the Burbank Police Department and their crappy law enforcement policies over there. It's actually 1.5 seconds. It's not 15 seconds. That's my program. But every 15 minutes.
You drag off students to a closed rubber room where they scream and yell.
I have a fat motorcycle cop bust the guy for jaywalking, even though he's between the lines at the crosswalk, and write a chicken-ass ticket where he has to take 2 days off work to fight it. Yeah.
And you know what?
Every 1.5
seconds. In this 15 minutes, what they also do, these kids, the ones that supposedly are dead, they have to write a letter, a farewell letter, to their parents, to their loved ones.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's very emotional. Is
15 minutes a national? Is that throughout the United States?
Yes.
Wow.
And what they do, they write the letter, what would you have told your dad or your mom when you walked out this morning if you would have known that you were going to get killed at 10, 15 or whatever in the hands of a drunk driver?
Wow.
And
they should do it too. Where if one of them kills, what would they say? What would they feel?
Well,
they're the perpetrator.
They have not gotten to that yet, and this particular program is targeted to the teenagers.
Mm-hmm. Wow!
To the kids under 21 years of age, try to give them a feeling, a sensation of what really happens when someone gets run over, gets killed in a collision. Because of an impaired driver.
Is there a part of Los Angeles where that's more likely to occur than other parts? Are there notorious or nefarious areas?
Well, I'm not going to say it's just L.A.
But in L.A., just so we can avoid those intersections.
Well, yeah, you can avoid them.
Well, you have more people. You have multicultural like Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going to have the situation.
Just stay away from the Jewish communities, Drew. Come on, we know what we're talking about here. It's a cultural
man,
thing.
You can those get people. A man in trouble.
The Jews are pretty notorious for the drinking and driving. I think Drew knows what he's talking about when he says that. It's a loaded question, officer. I'm sorry.
So avoid the Manish Efforts Mile.
Let me tell you, stay away from the Hebrew Heights area. Stay off the Manish Efforts Mile. Let me tell you what my plan is. I want everyone.
God, he's got a plan.
I want everyone. I got a couple of plans. First, I would like to have my own personal speed limit, which is based on a few things.
Well, wait a minute, you've been
telling me that all the time.
You're a personal policeman too, remember?
No, I want my own personal garbage man.
Oh, I'd like
my own personal fireman.
Yeah, fireman.
The cop,
right.
I could do without, but fireman, I'd like, and I'd like to get rid of my own personal meter man, like in fire. But here's
I wonder why.
here's my plan. I want everybody to have their own. Alcohol rating. Now, here's what I'm saying. 0.08. Uh-huh. That's a universal number. I know it's all about safety on the road. I know people that aren't safe with anything in them.
I know a couple.
I know people that are poor drivers. On the other hand, there's what we call, in my culture, heavyweights. Guys like myself who can have a couple of beers and still be safer than my mom is when she's driving. On the road, for instance. Horrible driver.
No mercy here.
A horrible driver. So here's the point. I like to take a test. And here's what it is. When we go take the driver's test, you give me a couple of shots. See how I perform through the cones. Hey, if I can make a 0.15, then that's my personal number.
Have you ever been in Pollock's, what's the name of this? I can't think of it. But bottom line, what they do, we bring celebrities like yourselves.
Right.
And we start giving you
alcohol.
Get them drunk.
Yeah.
That's right.
The Mondrian.
And I tell you one thing.
I would love
it's
to do that.
Funny.
Yeah.
You want to do it?
I'd love to.
I tell you what.
Sign me up.
I will be.
But here's.
You don't need the booze. I'll probably be loaded anyway.
You're making a point, though, Adam, that is interesting. Let me elaborate a little further, though. Is that there are people that are resistant to the intoxicating, particularly the motor intoxicating effects of alcohol. There are.
Well, they're guys who played who've pitched baseball games drunk.
It turns out.
You know what I mean? I mean,
It turns out that particularly the men. That can drink people under the table, that can not seem, from a motor standpoint, intoxicated after large amounts of alcohol, predicts alcoholism. That predicts the presence of the gene. And those actually turn out to be the guys that get stopped more often because they tend to have some of the other influences. While they can make the cones, they drive a little faster, their judgment's a little bit off, and they get stopped.
Right.
And they get popped, and that's where we start detecting them as alcoholics.
Right. Well,
even though they're not have the motor intoxicating effects. So
I'm just saying
it doesn't make them more safe.
Well, there are people I know who can have a couple of drinks, Drew's wife, and they're an embarrassment. I mean, they're out of control. It's talking about their sex life with Drew. It's humiliating. I mean, quite honestly.
Okay.
And then there are guys like me, a couple of belts. It brings out my personality. I'm cool as a cucumber. I'm a better man with a couple of cocktails. Drew.
So you had a few already? Or?
Every night, of course.
Drew, when we travel,
yes.
I have three or four Bloody Marys and a couple of sleeping pills. How am I?
Intolerable.
I know what the ladies like. They like giving me oral.
Well, that's what you go on about, and your mom, and then you're asleep.
But I'm fine.
You're fine. Yeah.
I'm fine. I don't stagger.
Once he's asleep, he's fine. Is that what you're saying?
I'm fine once he's asleep.
I'm just saying all I want is my own personal intoxication number. I can earn it. You know what I'm saying?
I understand.
All right,
that's
right.
All I'm saying.
All right, let's take some calls.
All right, Drew, please. I have a lot of revolutionary ideas. Oscar?
Hey, what's happening?
And my own speed limit. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing, bud?
Good.
So your car gets raided and you get raided.
That's right.
Yeah.
Both get impounded.
Go ahead, Oscar.
I was just wanting to hear what my main man, Mayonnaise, would say about what to do if you're actually stopped by a cop. How should you act?
Well, let's ask Officer Hernandez this. So far, all I know is
That's a very good question.
Kiss ass. And I don't mean that
in a bad way. No. First of all...
Kiss ass.
No.
No?
You don't have to, obviously.
Don't say anything. Just be quiet. That's what I always do.
No, not either.
Yeah, how do you beat a ticket?
Okay, first, you don't beat a ticket.
How do you get out of getting one?
How do you talk to a cop? Very simple. Right. First of all, we have to understand respect.
Right.
Okay?
That's ass kissing. Nothing wrong with ass kissing.
There is a difference, compadre.
All right.
Now,
respect.
You have to have your... When the officer asks you for your driver's license, mm-hmm. here in California, driver's license, registration of the car, and proof of insurance, you'll tell him, my registration is in the glove box,
right.
or whatever you have it. And the officer, if it is evening hours, he will be looking or she will be looking at where your hands are.
Right.
Your mouth will not kill a police officer. The hands will,
right.
whatever they have. Or if this particular person happens to be a karate expert, you know very well a good blow to a good part of the face is history. It can knock you out.
Sure.
Follow the directions of a police officer. What I'll strongly suggest, as they are approaching the car, turn the dome light on or the inside light of the car.
Ooh, good one.
Keep the hands on the wheel where the officer can see them again. The hands will be the ones that can reach a weapon, whatever that is,
right.
and harm a police officer. Police officers are like the three of us here. We are human beings, and believe me, this is something a cop will not tell you, but we are more scared than the person that we're stopping.
I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason being is we have no clue whatsoever who this individual is.
So don't reach over and prep everything. Don't even move.
Don't start moving around inside of a car, going under the seat, reaching over. You know, I'm going to walk into a car, and I'm seeing that. I'm going to tell him to get out.
Well, I keep my proof of insurance in a holster.
In my
glove box, so it can look. I sometimes does look a little suspicious when I go for it, and I will lunge. I dive for it. That's my move.
Last couple of times I got stopped, I get the sort of "What do you think you're doing?" kind of thing. I mean, I have no excuses.
The question is, I'm sorry, I don't understand what you mean by that, sir.
You okay?
So bottom line, what you're doing?
But you're then you get a little bit. Hey, you know what I'm talking about? I just say I have no idea.
How about
I know what you're talking about, and I have no excuses. I just said what.
Drew, I said kiss ass, not lick ass. That's what's going on. Officer wants respect. Here's my humble theory.
Oh God, here we go.
You have to make these guys not want to write you a ticket. You know what I mean? You have to be the kind of person, if you're a smart ass, if you're you know, if your hands are all over the place, if you're agitated, if you're giving them, no bank robberies going on, Officer McGruff, you're going to get a ticket, because if they're angry at you, this is how they're going to punish you. They're going to punish you with a ticket. What they have to do is think to myself, I'm supposed to give the guy a ticket, but look at him. He's kissing ass. His hands are on the wheel. He's notified me. He's going for the glove compartment. He's going to get his registration out. He turned the dome light on. I don't really want to write this guy a ticket. And obviously, if you're getting a ticket, you're getting a ticket. But there is a margin that could push you 20% this way or 20% that way.
And you're right. And I'm not going to deny that. That's right, because there have been reasons. I had an instance where this particular guy went through a flagrant red light.
Mm-hmm.
And I approached him, and the man was crying. He was crying. So I had no idea why he was crying away.
Right.
I asked him, what's wrong? He says, you don't want to know, officer. So I said, can I see your driver's license and registration? In those days, did not ask for proof of insurance like they do nowadays. To make a long story short, the man's mother just died, and he was on his way home.
Hold on, it's good. I'm writing this down.
Good. Well, take notes. And, you know, there is a situation for everything.
Did you write the guy a ticket?
No.
Yeah,
so there you go.
I did not write the guy. I mean, did he need a ticket?
His mom died 9 times that year.
Well, I don't think so. The guy just received a phone call, and,
That's good.
Unless if he's a terrific actor, which could have happened,
I don't know.
But I did believe him.
That's good.
You know, 45-year-old. Come on.
Yeah, all right. No, that's good. That's good.
So it's there are situations.
Yeah,
every
you're human.
Every stop.
Cops are human.
Exactly. And you know what? That's something that people should know. People should understand. Don't just think a cop is just a bully that is going to go out there and make your life miserable.
But let me ask you, though, if this is against, this is bad etiquette. Sometimes, and you tell me how this works, because sometimes the cop pulls you over, the cop comes over the car, and the cop wants to talk about what you did for a while.
Okay.
You know, did you know what you did? I saw you doing this. Do you understand why I pulled you over? So on and so forth. I want to say at a certain point, look, if you're going to write me the ticket, I don't want traffic court to go on by the side of the 405 here. Just give me the goddamn ticket. But I don't want to say that because I want to kiss ass. But the worst case scenario is kissing ass and then getting the ticket at the end, you know? Now, if a cop is talking... If a cop is going to write you the ticket, does he make that decision on the way to the car? Does he leave it up in the air? Is it up in the air in his head until he sizes up how the person is acting, what their demeanor is, if their mother died?
It has to do with the violation.
And if he is going to write you a ticket, does he talk to you about what you did and what you didn't do?
Technically, what we're supposed to tell the person, hello, I'm Officer Hernandez, and the reason why I'm stopping you is because I saw you going through a red light, for example.
Right.
Or you rolled through the stop sign, or you failed to yield for that pedestrian. Can I see your driver's license, registration, and proof of insurance?
Right.
So the person will actually start talking at that time and get an understanding as to what's going on.
Hey, let me butt in real quick there, right? Yield to the pedestrian.
Yeah, I was just thinking about
Let me say this. Either, if you can get a, here's the thing. You can get a jaywalking ticket for crossing, you know, in the middle of the block out here, right? Mm-hmm. You can also get a ticket if you don't stop for the person that is jaywalking. My feeling is one or the other. Either give it to the guy who's jaywalking and leave me alone because this guy's a criminal. He's jaywalking in the middle of the thing. Or don't give him the ticket and give me the ticket. You can't give us both the ticket.
Yes, it can be done.
Give it to the jaywalker and let me go.
Can you imagine if they started doing that in New York City?
Oh,
my God.
What a utopia that place is. You got guys jaywalking right in front of cops. It's great.
It's a different world.
Oh, yeah. It's a great world over there. LAPD writes, just plain old too many tickets. Too many people scared. Let's face it. Cops drive on the freeway. They drive 48 miles an hour, and everyone's scared to go past them. That doesn't exist in any other city. What's going on? There's too many chicken-ass tickets going on in this town. You got to do something about this. Who's the new police chief? Get him in here. What's his badge number?
You want to talk to him?
I'd like to talk to him.
Okay. That can be done, too.
I'd like to send a message. I'd like to send a message to him through you. And here's the deal. I will speak for all the citizens of this fine city, Los Angeles, which is we're not interested in the chicken-ass violations. We're not interested in the parking days. We want you out there stopping criminals. We don't care about guys with pot plants in the front yards.
But drunk driving is part of this.
We don't care about Japanese. Yes, that's true.
We don't care about
Japanese tourists trying to get laid.
How many pot plants do you have in the front yard, though?
I just have the one. Just the one. But it's 60 feet high. It's 30 feet across.
60 feet? Oh, you do
it's
have a
huge.
Problem.
It's huge.
Where do you live?
It's the size of the
Let
Christmas.
Let me go pay you a visit.
It's the size of Christmas tree in Radio City.
The White House.
White House. All right, shut up, Drew. Where are we? One more call.
One more.
Well, safe and sane graduation, everybody. And 4th of July is coming up. Don't light them firecrackers either.
And don't shoot in the air.
Don't shoot in the air. Well, that's for the Mexicans.
That's for everybody.
That's for everyone, but especially the Mexicans. I like to celebrate by firing a few rounds at the moon. That's fine.
We got to focus again on that Manischewitz.
The Jews. Again, it's the Jews. It's not the Mexicans. That's the Jews. They like to go out and fire the guns up in the air during the 4th. They do it during Yom Kippur. What else? Passover,
Rosh Hashanah.
They're always firing.
I never seen that, and I did work the Jewish community.
Yeah, they don't celebrate anything over there. They celebrate a solid BM. Those people quietly. They don't shoot anything into the air. Well, listen, we got to settle the Mexicans down in this town. They get drunk, they drive, and then they fire the guns up in the air. It's a cultural thing. They come from a lawless community.
And we're trying to educate them not to do that.
I know, but you know, here's the thing. L.A. is chock full of Mexicans, and it's like when they cross the border, it's 1822 where they are. You know what I mean? It's the Wild West.
You kind of feel the time stop when you go there, right?
Yeah, it's like... You just left a community where you were lighting an M80 off a joint with an open beer and chucking it at a cop.
Where get all this stuff anyway?
You just got done buying a sack of Valium and Quaaludes over at the pharmacy. It's everything's legal. Your sister's a prostitute. It's all fine. Everything's fine. Then you step over here and someone's going, you drank a beer and a half, Paco. You can't drive. You can't fire your gun. You can't do this. You can't do that.
Show me the prescription for the volume that you have.
Right. That's the point. It's going to take a while to assimilate.
Quickly,
but you're in charge.
Let's talk to Brianne quickly.
All right. No, no firing.
Last call.
Guns.
Last call. That's Brianne, 15.
Brianne.
Hi.
Hey.
What's up?
We have a program at our school that they take the juniors and seniors that don't do the state testing, and they take them over to the stadium, the football stadium, and they do a mock car crash over there, and it takes up the whole entire day.
Again, with using students as people in the cars, or?
Yeah. And it's really cool because they take everybody over, they feed them lunch and stuff, and they do this whole mock car crash, and they call the police and the fire department and everybody, and they come and do the whole, they treat it like it's real.
Now, are you in driver's education? You're 15, right?
Yeah, I haven't taken it yet.
All right. You want to get your license at 16?
Yeah.
What state are you in?
Washington.
It's different out there.
It is? What's
the, well, from California, what is the basic message that most of the kids get out there in Washington when they see a simulation of that nature?
It's, everybody gets really scared. They never want to do it.
Good.
Yeah.
Good, yeah. You save the booze and to the for the pros.
Yeah.
All right, Brianna.
All right.
Brianne.
Yeah.
Thanks. Hey, good times. You wait till you're 30, you get that license, all right? Ladies shouldn't be driving anyway, right? Hernandez was telling me that during the break.
No, I did not
Ladies
say that.
Ladies and Asians, he said.
Well, never he, said that.
He said Orientals, but I corrected him.
Good Lord.
All right. All right, we got to take a... Where are we going?
We're going to go back to Loveline.
We're kicking Hernandez out of here.
All right.
But listen, everybody, seriously, we kid around a lot, but this is a tragedy. I mean, God forbid anything should horrible should happen to any of our listeners or callers or anybody in the sound of our voice or a drunk driver. Yeah, and also, there's a lot of times people are loaded and their friends aren't. And you need to get the keys away from these people.
Certainly.
You need to become the drivers here.
Certainly.
This you know, not only obviously can be end the life of the person the guy hits, also can end whoever's driving the car's life, obviously. Yeah. They don't always make it.
You know, one more point before we go. If you're tired, don't drive.
Yeah.
I just had a situation last week.
Adam, we drive
here
home
in
tonight?
Los Angeles.
Yeah,
here in Los Angeles. This
maybe
kid,
Hernandez will drive us home.
I'll drive you home. Don't worry about it. This kid went to his prom. He went to Washington High School.
Mm-hmm.
A perfect human being. Straight A student, wonderful person, not drunk, not loaded, tired. Mm-hmm. He fell asleep after he dropped off his girlfriend at 8 o'clock in the morning after the prom partying and all this stuff. And at the intersection of Florence and Western, he fell asleep for a fraction of a second and head-on collision with an RTD bus, killed himself instantly.
Wow.
Tired.
Wow.
If that's an issue,
no, it's, I
you
mean,
know, pull over.
It's bizarre, but it's happened to quite a few people I know who have fallen asleep while driving a motor vehicle. And if you want to think, worst case scenario, I mean, being drunk is a bad thing, but being unconscious is, how much worse could you do behind the wheel of a moving vehicle?
Exactly.
All right.
And that happened to this kid. It was a disaster. It was awful.
Well, you're doing the Lord's work, Officer Hernandez. Again, we'll work on those arrows. All right, and get the new police chief in here. I got some policy to talk to him about.
He will talk to you policy, believe me. He'll answer back, too.
I want to thank Officer Hernandez for coming in here and tell everyone, really, no drinking and driving this graduation or any other graduation or any other day. And,
or holiday.
You Mexicans, don't fire those guns at the moon during the 4th of July. We'll be back. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Now we're going back to the regularly scheduled show. A little booze theme in there with Officer Hernandez.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to try to actually get the new LAPD chief of police in here in a couple of weeks or so.
So, Adam, rail against him. We go right to the top with this. With your plans and your
I got some idea. Policies. I got some things I'd like him to focus on.
Oh, boy. This will be your big chance, man. This will be it.
Well, look, everybody. You got to do what the people want. Am I right?
We should get the mayor in here instead.
Nah, I don't think he's coming in and doing anything. I don't even know who the mayor is. Who is it? Sam Yorty? Who's the mayor?
Sam Yorty.
Kenneth Hahn?
Yeah.
What do you do? Replace Yorty? Cameron?
Cameron?
Year 16?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I was just going to add about the, just before I asked my question was, we have the same program here in Bellevue where,
big whoop. End of that theme. We're going to on to Loveline.
Well, it's all right. So you have the sober graduation thing over there?
Not really. It's more like we do it in health class. So we show these videos and things like that. And
people getting drunk, getting in car accidents?
Yeah.
Okay.
People like, I'm smart now and stuff. So anyway, I'll just go to my question. About 6 months ago, I told my girlfriend, well, we're broken up now, but 6 months ago I told her that what turns me on is wearing women's underwear and I can ejaculate to that.
Sure.
And she broke up with me. For that,
when you wear it, you wear it, okay.
It's kind of a. I actually think of it as kind of twisted, but for some reason, it's the only thing that I can only ejaculate when I do that.
Otherwise, no orgasm.
Yeah, and
have you ever had sex before?
No, okay. I'm a virgin. And also, like, if I see nudity, it kind of also turns me off too. Mm-hmm. And because of my like weird fantasy, she broke up with me.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
gay.
Yeah. This is
no.
This is he's 16, right?
Yeah.
This we're well underway here.
Yeah, yeah. But that's a fetish. This is
it's a fetish. Yeah,
he's into it. That's it. And
And
you see how the fetish serves the function of avoiding stimuli that's overwhelmingly frightening to him.
Right.
So seeing a vagina in real life is like too much. You got to cover it.
Yeah.
And so the underwear becomes the sexual object.
Yeah. What do we do about this? I mean, Cameron, obviously this is a turn-on for you, but this is obviously going to be a problem in life for you, right?
Yeah, because, I don't know, it seems like if I try to tell people, tell like a girl about it, that I want to get attached to, because, it's like my fantasy, that's what I want to do, but it kind of, so I'm trying to find another way of, trying to find another way of you know, finding an orgasm and stuff.
Finding an orgasm.
Well, you could start by looking. You start by looking under the car seat, because when I lose an orgasm, it's usually out there. It's in the car. It's always tucked back there.
So I should try it in the car. I have leather interior, so you think that might work, or?
Hold on a second. Now, a lot of people would think that was a bogus call at that point. But Cameron may be confused,
yeah.
And maybe I've been yelling about traffic laws for the last hour and a half, and my brain is not acclimated to kids and their bizarre jack-off behaviors.
Well, there is that, and then I was also thinking to myself, boy, he seems pretty together for somebody with that strong a fetish.
You know, you never hear about this at 16.
And then, but then he went into this confusional state, and I wonder, was that his weirdness now coming out, or is that bogosity? I don't know.
All right. What is your? But what is his advice? What does he want from us?
How to undo this? I guess.
He can't. Well, let me say this: to undo a fetish, you have to stop doing the fetish.
Yeah.
If you can stop doing the fetish, then is it a fetish?
No, you're
you
right.
Know what I'm saying?
Yes. If you can tolerate an intimate physical encounter without the fetish, that's good.
Can you wring it out of yourself?
Probably not completely.
Does it dig in deeper each time?
No.
You give up to it.
Not that I'm aware of. I don't believe that's true.
Well, I mean,
oh, each time you give up to it. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, if you've the last 100 times you've been with a woman, you had to mince around in a pair of panties.
It becomes sort of wired in.
Now it's wired
yeah.
in.
Yeah. Yeah. It also becomes a way of dealing in the relationship. You got to have that distance there in order to be
yeah,
okay
it,
with
it,
the
it's
person.
Yeah, at 16, you could probably talk yourself out of this.
Yeah.
All right, that would be the plan.
So it's find an orgasm with a real person.
Yeah.
Without the underwear.
Shannon?
Yes?
He's heading out to the car to check now.
Yeah.
You're 25?
I am.
What's up?
Okay, my husband and I have been married for almost 4 years, and we have 2 kids, both unplanned pregnancies.
Uh-huh.
One was on the pill, and we got pregnant on the pill, and the other one we got pregnant with condoms using spermicidal jelly.
All right.
Now, I know that seems like sort of lightning striking twice, like, oh, my God, this poor woman, how could this happen? But the question I have is, what role did you play in all this? There's got to be something about Shannon that sets you up to be at risk for all this.
Really? What do you mean?
Did you take the pill every day at the same time?
Yeah, how do you get pregnant on the pill?
I did take the pill every day at the same time in the morning.
Well, why is it? How'd you get pregnant then?
My doctor said that I'm just a part of a 1% that it happened.
One hundredth of 1%.
It's not. It's not 1% because that'd be 1 out of every 100
yeah.
women who are on the pill getting knocked up, and that wouldn't be tolerable.
When I got pregnant with my son, I had just had a surgery for endometriosis about a month and a half before.
Oh.
So the pill wouldn't work.
Well, I asked my doctor, and he said that it didn't matter, that it still should have worked. But nonetheless, I was pregnant. So, I mean, it was still a blessing, but I just...
And what did they find at the endometriosis? Was there anything in there when you had your laparoscopy?
I did. It was, I had just the layers of in scar tissue, and they cleaned it out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
And then the condom not working.
I'm sorry?
What was up with the condom failure?
Oh, well, after we got pregnant on the pill, we were so nervous again, we just decided to go to the old trustworthy condoms, and...
You were using them properly? And
yes. Every time.
Hmm.
And you're using spermicidal jelly.
It doesn't add much. That doesn't add
anything. That doesn't do anything.
Oh, that's really? Because we were, well...
That's just for taste.
Well, we had been advised by our doctor, since the other two seem to have failed, to use an IUD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, are you going to have pregnancies anymore, you think? Are you done?
Yeah, well, we're so young, and both of our pregnancies were unplanned. Like, we weren't even planning to have kids for years. Mm-hmm. After we were married, but now we'd like to be able to wait and make the decision once we're older whether or not we want to continue having a family. But
well,
right
IUDs
now
are fairly safe. There has always been concern about them, or at least in recent years, concerns about them affecting fertility. And they, for a while, were not giving them to women that had never been pregnant. Now they're starting to give them again to women that have never had children. And you obviously you're not in that category. You've had a couple of kids. And so, yeah, IUD is a great option for you, I think.
Well, my question is, in researching them, we had been told that they act as a morning after pill.
Yes.
If they do.
Well, no, they don't. They actually, my understanding is they actually can affect implantation. So if you have feelings about that, there could be issues with the more so than the morning after pill.
Oh, you mean if you have...
if you have a conception. But that,
if you have feelings, like religious feelings.
Right, right. But what I have been told, even though I have trouble believing it with the IUD, is that it interferes with the sperm getting to the egg and all that, too. So,
mm-hmm.
And to that extent, it does work like the morning after.
Shannon?
Yes?
Are you worried about the problems? I don't know.
Moral, philosophical problems.
Philosophical or moral issues involving the birth
control? I am. Once at conception, it's a baby.
That's fine. So, I'd have to research this again to find out what the probability of that is. But clearly, you've got a foreign body in the uterine cavity. It can make it difficult for implantation to occur, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
All right. Good times.
Okay.
Don't spread too much of that religious crap on your kids, so you screw them up. All right. Good times. They'll hate you. And try not to tell them there was five lines of birth control defense before you and your pregnancy, little Timmy. Ah, Christ, we had the IUD. I had the cervical cap. Your father dipped his penis in spermicide.
Pulled out.
The lion's share of the load landed on mommy's belly, but obviously something got through. I've been taking the pill. We actually tried clubbing her abdomen after sex, so you're a real godsend. Can you take out the garbage? Annie?
Yes.
You're 25?
Yes.
What's up?
I would like to see if Dr. Drew thinks I need therapy. My husband thinks...
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Go ahead. Ask. What is the situation?
I'm absolutely not okay with the fact that he masturbates to nudie magazines.
You're fat.
Not at all.
You're not fat?
No.
How often does he do that?
When he's out of town.
You want to go to break?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we have some dissecting to do here.
Yeah.
Hold on, Annie. Hold on.
I have not met a woman who is weirded out by her man masturbating to nudie magazines where... After some dissection of the problem, it didn't come back to the woman.
Of course. Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get into this after this. Yeah. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Forget about that phone number, Holmes. Let's keep on rocking, huh?
We're going to dissect Annie.
Yeah.
She's 25.
Leanne Tween is coming on here tomorrow night. She is the super hot sports chick.
Ow!
Yeah, when was she in here? 8 months ago?
It wasn't that long ago.
Four?
Yeah, I would say 6 months ago.
Really super hot. Knows a lot about sports. We're going to find the chink in her armor.
I remember she was the one that pulled the stuff out of her hair for you. Remember let her hair down for you?
Shook it around?
Yeah.
She's hot. And, you know, she's always talking. She's too good to be true this one. She loves golf. She loves sports. She loves a cigar and some barbecue. She loves oral. She loves when the guy pulls out. Oh, she loves it all. But there's something wrong. I'm going to get to it.
All right, this is the time.
I think she's bait. You know what I mean? I think she's either an alien.
Bait and switch, you mean?
She may be like an alien who's trying to connect, you know, trying to collect seed.
Sure, sure.
Or she's like, there's a penis there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're going to find out tomorrow night.
Okay.
Annie?
Yes.
So your husband, when he travels, brings nudie magazines with him?
Or does he watch stuff in the hotel room?
No, it's magazines, and I just get a sick feeling in my stomach imagining him looking at other women and being so turned on that he can have these sexual feelings.
All right. Okay. And now, does he bring these with him, or does he buy them on the road?
I got him a subscription to Maxim last year, and he'll use those, and I don't know what.
Annie, you have to stop assuming his brain works like yours.
That's why I want to talk to you guys.
Okay.
How does it work?
For a male, a sexual feeling is more like having to urinate or something. You know what I mean? It's something that has to be sort of taken care of, and it can be completely devoid of any emotional content. For you, you think, oh, he's having a sexual feeling. That's emotional feeling. For him, no. This thing needs to be released. It's a visual experience attached to a biological urge, and pow, that's it.
I mean, I have a catch-and-release policy. I catch my penis with my left hand, and I release jizz.
That's a good time.
That's how I work. Yeah.
If he needs to masturbate, that's fine.
Right.
Shut up, Drew. Let her finish. Yeah. Yes?
Why does he have to look at other women?
Because that is what males need.
What are you going to do? Just stare at a picture of a casket and beat off?
No.
But if he needs to masturbate, can he just do it?
No, men need to.
That's what he's doing.
For men, they have to have. They essentially always have to have some kind of visual
stimulation. They don't. No, listen. Here's the reality.
They do. If it's available, always.
Shut up. Here's the deal, Annie. If something is available, they're going to look. If he doesn't have anything available, he's going to close his eyes and think about someone he nailed in high school. Either way, you ain't there.
Then what about phone sex?
Well, now we're getting somewhere.
But she went with her. She wants.
I mean, now you're crossing the line. No, you want to know if he can call you and have phone sex?
Yes, like he has in the past.
Well, let me ask this. You got him a subscription to Maxim magazine.
Before I knew what he did with them.
Right. It just you figure there's a gazpacho recipe in there that he wanted to read about. Okay, so. How did you find out what he did with them?
He told me.
He innocently brought it up. He assumed she knew.
Right.
He assumed her mind worked like his.
And when he travels, he takes the Maxim magazine, and that's what you were counting as a nudie magazine?
Well, yeah, the girls are half naked, but
right.
I know
okay.
had other ones.
All right, so Annie, here's the deal. It's natural for a guy to masturbate. And it's natural for a guy to look at things when he masturbates, and it's natural for a guy to think of people, situations, and scenarios that don't have to do with his own family or significant other.
Men will always
when they masturbate.
Thoughts of diversity.
Yes.
But what's not natural, what's not good, is if he acts on those.
Right.
If he starts to after other people.
Yeah, it's but natural, but it's not good.
But for him to have thoughts about other people,
right.
he has to. It's in his genes.
And in a way, Annie, maybe it's a good thing.
Right, and I know he's not out there looking, which is absolutely wonderful also. But
all right, so relax. So what happened to you? What's wrong with you?
Were you exploited in some way at one time?
No.
Never?
I never ever want to lose this guy.
No. Listen.
The way you're going, you're going to lose him the way you're pressuring him.
I know.
You're getting weird. You're getting weird.
He knows I'm uncomfortable, yet he still does it.
Well, he has to do it.
Yeah. So maybe, look, he's uncomfortable with your period. Can you knock it off?
Okay.
Thank you.
Did you have someone die or something on you when you were young, or your dad take off or something?
No, my parents were divorced when I was
All right, up. Well, this is your abandonment issues. You can't stand abandonment, and yet what you're doing is creating a situation where he might abandon you. You're forcing it.
And let me say this. I speak for many of my...
does need therapy, basically.
Yes. Many of my friends' wives. I swear to Christ, there's some women out there that just push. They just push. It's like they cannot... handle a relationship that doesn't have
drama.
A little bit of drama going, and they just push and they push. And I talk to these women's husbands, and the husbands who are relatively sane are like, I bust my ass, I go to work all day, I come home, I try to be a good dad, and I get ridden like a mule when I get home. And it's these neurotic broads pushing their men. And listen to me, all you screwed up neurotic broads. Let me explain something. These guys... they can go out and find somebody. This is the way it works. You ain't in high school anymore. Some of these women in their mid-30s, later 30s, early 40s, don't start pushing at that age, because the guy's coming right into his prime, and you ain't going to get squat out in the real world.
Cool.
Just relax.
A little bit of aggression here. A little bit of
payback for the years of suffering. Know where you're at.
Wow.
You guys were the bell of the ball when you were 21, 22 years old.
Finally, you're here. This is what you've been waiting for years.
You ain't the bell of the ball anymore. Stop pushing.
Ooh, it's an awful feeling.
Be thankful for what you got. Shut your pie hole. Get in that goddamn kitchen and start rattling those pots and pans. Thank you.
And send those letters and emails.
Stop pushing. You're miserable? Good. That doesn't mean everyone around you needs to be miserable. Thank you.
Jeff, 29. Jeff?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Good.
This is in regards to the guy with the women's underwear.
Yeah.
As, I mean, a long-time listener, so I've heard a lot of stories and a lot of guys, a lot of odd fetishes. And I'm basically, I've been a cross-dresser for I don't even know how many years anymore.
By yourself or with a partner? Or?
I'm single, but I've been a cross-dresser for quite a number of years, and early stages in my cross-dressing was like this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's ever since now I've grew up in New Jersey, where it's very taboo. Most of the people I know in New Jersey have no clue.
Yeah.
But ever since
until tonight.
Ever since I've moved out here to Arizona, everybody knows I'm very open about it. Everybody's very supportive of it, and I've heard from a lot of people that I look good. I'm that weird category that I'm a straight cross-dresser.
No, that's actually more common.
Yeah,
straight cross-dresser.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty common. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
Our point though was that.
Well,
that
do you go around all day cross-dressed?
No.
No, where do you wait?
I've gone out with a couple of friends who know the Arizona scene, where to go to hang out and go places, and I'd love to take a couple of trips to California if I knew people to hang out with.
Yeah, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Just keep your flirty handful of chiffon over there in Arizona, where it's nice and dry.
But I feel kind of bad for the people that have that odd lesser pantyhose or just underwear, and
yeah,
and it is kind of tough to break it. To the opposite sex.
Yeah. What about your lady friends? How do they deal with this?
It's mind you, if I was 250 pounds or something like that, they'd use your.
How come you don't have a girlfriend right now?
Too busy with life and job and bills and.
All right.
I'm a long story.
Yeah. All right. A little therapy too, though, right?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. All right. Listen, I'm guessing he borrowed like some ski pants from one of his ladies, or maybe some culottes, and blew them out, and that's the end of the relationship.
Blew them out.
Yeah, can happen. Well, listen, we got to go to break, but all these people you talk to are like 30 years old. What's the matter with that? Why don't you have a relationship? Bob, I bet career. BS. You're screwed up. That's why you're not having a relationship. You're wearing fishnets and a push-up bra when you're at home and beating off while you're crying. That's why you're not having a relationship. You're having a relationship with yourself. You are a woman and a man. So, a little therapy, but good times. Officer Hernandez for coming in here and telling us why
fun.
We shouldn't drink and drive.
It's fun. He let you beat him up pretty good. Nice.
Well, when you're right, you're right.
Yeah,
bro.
Of course. Well, he had to
know. Like a god on my side.
Huh.
Leanne Tweeden, the super, super hot sports chick, is going to be in here tomorrow night talking to us about why she's so hot. And we will have a good time with her. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying... Mahalo.
That's a very good question.
Kiss ass. And I don't mean that in a bad way.
No. First of all, it was
kiss ass.
No.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.